Welcome to Agency of the Month, brought to you by Harris Caprock. Reliability never reached so far on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're proud to present this month's agency, DISA.
Welcome to the program. I'm Lauren Larson. My guest is Mr. John Hickey. He's the program manager for mobility at the Defense Information Systems Agency. Mr. Hickey, welcome. How did you choose the mobile device management solution, and what were the requirements?
We did your normal acquisition process, but we did it in an expedited manner to meet the requirements of the mobile device management industry. Is very quick from a technology refresh and change standpoint. So we started well over a year and a half ago on an RFI process and sent out multiple RFIs. We did an industry day in June of 2012. That was followed by a release of an RFP, and then those RFPs came in December, and then we awarded in the...
Where do you stand now?
Right now, we have the capability stood up in our JITC lab downstairs, which is our Joint Interoperability and Test Command. We have facilities here on Fort Meade, as well as what we have out at Huachuca and other areas on that. So we're standing that capability up. It is a robust capability because it includes Mobile Iron, which is a mobile device management capability, as well as Fixed Mode, which is a secure container capability that supports SMIME and mail in a container approach. So it has a lot of capability, and so we're working through what are those options that we're going to use to deploy that and tie it into our existing infrastructure. So as part of the requirements process, we went down there. The difference between what we do and potentially what is done in the commercial world is that additional layer of security for our official use only information. And so much of those requirements were tied to the security and as well as our network operations. So when we have a general that is expecting to get us an email, our turnaround time might be a little quicker than the average customer that's out there on a Verizon or other areas. So we have to have that type of information to identify who that user is, what's the importance of that information, and how we can recover that quickly. That tied along with the Common Access Card, which provides our PKI credentials on the device, is the other unique thing that we do a little bit different than what's done in industry. So when we deploy a mobile device management system as well as a mobile application store, we do that thinking of security first. And then we also do that as how do we restore that service in time of crisis and other things. So how do we do that quickly? And those are key components that were part of what we put in as requirements that are different than what you would have maybe in a commercial instance of a mobile device management for a corporation as an example. So I think we got a lot of capability that came back, and we did a full and open competition. So it took a little longer, but overall brings down costs, creates a competitive environment, opens it up for a better solution for the Department of Defense. And so from that standpoint, I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing for the taxpayers.
What are some best practices you've developed from industry, and how have you adapted them to fit the security needs of DOD?
The beauty of a mobile device management system, in near real time, you can see devices. That itself offers a good solution compared to potentially where everything's disconnected. You can't update automatically. You can't push fixes. You can't see that device in real time to turn it off, wipe it, and other things. So there's a lot of capability in the commercial world. So that's the best practices they do today. You go to a portal and say, I lost my device, and you can turn that device off, or you can suspend service, or if you had to, you could, you know, ask the company to wipe the device. Those are the best practices that we want to do. What we've added in there is, what do we have from a credential standpoint that identifies who I am? That's a little bit different than maybe a username or password that you use to log in to, an example, one of the carriers, right? So you go in there with your username and password. Well, we know there's vulnerabilities associated with that, so we want to make sure we put the additional security layers on top of that. So a key point there is some way to sign in and encrypt emails, some way to make sure that we're monitoring those devices, understanding that many of them have PINs or username and passwords, but our goal is to really do what we've done in the laptop world, is to go to the next level and work with industry to enable a PKI middleware standard that allows us to control more things with a more hardened credential from an identity standpoint. And so we're working with industry in those areas, and there are some technologies coming, but it's not all there, but a lot of it is there. So we do take the best practices of the carriers, and that's why we're using multiple carriers today, not just one carrier, for our unclassified capabilities. So.
What are some of the challenges that come with dealing with multiple carriers?
Multiple carriers is you have to have different contracts, and so that is a challenge. But there's blanket purchase agreements that exist today. There's GSA vehicles that exist today to get out to those different carriers and put them on contract. When you're talking about Apple, you're talking about a common operating system. But when you're talking Android, you're talking potentially different operating systems. So how do you secure that in different manufacturers that do different things? So that is a challenge. But again, the way we're working through that is we've put out security requirement guidelines. It's a new approach on the mobile side, but it's already seeing some benefits with both BB10 as well as Samsung with Knox. And so what the carrier does is say, hey, these are DoD security requirements for an operating system, for mobile device management capability, or for a mobile application store. And what we're doing different to speed that up and work with industry is let them develop the security STIG, right, our implementation guide, and we review that through our field security office. And we've already seen some early success in that, and we expect to see more as we move along and they understand those requirements. On the classified side, we work very similar with NSA and their protection profiles. And then you'll see those merge together in the future, and that's where we're going. You know, these are the security requirements that we're looking for classified devices. These are the requirements for the unclassified devices. What are the common themes on there, and how do you make that come together so industry understands in a rapid period of time can meet those security requirements out of the box, so we're not adding things to the device later on to try and fix some of the security vulnerabilities. And I think we've learned a lot from the laptop and desktop world in that area, and we know in the mobile device world that those devices don't stay in production as long as laptops, as an example. So.
Can you give me an idea of when an agency signs on, what, you know, what are the technical steps, what is the process?
So in this case, we offer a rate through the Defense Working Capital Fund. That's for customers that you know can easily transition on to the enterprise. For the other customers, and we do that through normally service level agreements. And so as an example, we've done that over the past 2 years with enterprise email and 1.4 million customers with the Army. And as part of that, you also have BlackBerry customers. So there's over 80,000 BlackBerry customers from the Army and the Joint Staff. So that's the way we're going to approach that. We're going to take this model and say, this is our rate. This is our infrastructure cost for the enterprise. If you need some unique system enabled to support that, then how do we work that service level agreement to get those details in there and those memorandums of agreement that support that? And so that's the approach that we're going to take to work those details.
We'll take a quick break now. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. My guest is Mr. John Hickey. He's the Program Manager for Mobility at the Defense Information Systems Agency.
In today's government environment, priorities change on a dime, so government customers need a telecommunications provider that can change at the same pace. Harris Caprock has plenty of bright ideas about how to make that happen. Ideas that enable agility. Ideas that ensure resiliency. Ideas that increase cost effectiveness. Harris Caprock tailors telecommunication solutions around customer needs, instead of forcing customers' requirements into standard service offerings. They've delivered telecommunications to more than 1,000 government locations in the U.S. Harris Caprock's extensive network connects 60-plus major Department of Defense locations with speeds up to 100G. Their capabilities extend even further around the world with a robust global backbone network spanning 23 countries. Harris Caprock specializes in engineering affordable solutions that provide rapid connectivity. To learn more, visit harriscaprock.com/brightideas. harriscaprock.com/brightideas.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. I'm Lauren Larson. My guest is Mr. John Hickey. He's the Program Manager for Mobility at the Defense Information Systems Agency. Tell me about the mobile application store. Is it the same vendor?
Same vendor. So what was procured is part of the MDM in mass, and that's the way we wrote it, is an integrated solution. And Mobile Iron is the MDM. It's one of the leaders in the industry in that area. It works with many of the cell phone companies today, many of the carriers today, and it has a mobile application store as a part of that suite. So that's what we are deploying and working with today in the lab to have deployed. So.
And what are some of the unique standards, whether it's DISA or the Defense Department, requirements for the mobile application store?
In the case of the mobile application store, it's not a lot of unique requirements for the store other than we want to control the store so that we can control the distribution of the devices and not rely on an open-ended Apple store, an open-ended Google store, where potentially you could have malware downloaded to the device. That's why we want to stand up our own store. And then we have a vetting process. So we look at the different applications as they come in, and we have an approval process that we bring those through. We look at the code. We look at potentially where those mobile applications might go from a proxy standpoint. So many applications go to different locations prior to coming back to a store, and we need to know that, right? And so those are the unique pieces that we're tracking, in addition to what Apple and Google already do today. That's from a commercial standpoint, and then you have DoD is unique in the fact that we have many GOTS applications from a web service capability, and there's folks that are out there developing, just like our other federal partners are developing applications from a mobile standpoint that they're doing in-house themselves, or they're having contractors do. Well, you want to take a look at that too, right? You have a second party look at that code, make sure we're not introducing malware into the system, and have some quality control checks on that, as well as the whole ecosystem. What happens when you open that application? Where does it go? Where does it terminate at? And then an important thing, our strategy of defense in depth. So not only do we have a mobile application store, not only do we have an MDM, we have gateways. And so today we have internet access points that we bring in our internet traffic from the wired side. On the classified side, we've stood up one mobile carrier entry point. We've modified that from what we do with our SMEPADs, our current device to choose on the classified side, and our capability that we're using with the Android device to secure secret information. We're going to deploy starting in FY14, a capability to have our first gateway. And so that gateway will be located in conjunction with our internet access points at one of our defense enterprise computing centers, and then expand that out to a global presence with multiple gateways. And that's the future. So you not only have something that can monitor the device, you have something that monitoring that traffic as it comes on to our global information grid through our decks. And again, defense in depth in this area so that we can actually look at the traffic, use the existing IA controls we have today to sense the traffic, understand where the traffic's coming from, and again, control and defend our networks.
Give me an idea of the range of apps available.
So today we've approved approximately 50-something apps. The apps are everything from Anytime Connect that allows us to get back into our Defense Connect online system. We have apps that Slate that provides you news and other things. You may be familiar with that. What we went after first was apps that we wouldn't have to pay a lot of money for, right? Because you think in your personal space, you may not care about paying $5 or $9.99 for an app, but if you multiply that on the DoD side, that becomes quite expensive. So we went after apps that could provide us some value early on, and then what we're really concentrating on, what are those, what we call killer apps, and take that in a sense, that app that allows you to do a lot more than what you can do today, potentially, on your government workstation. So those unified capabilities, as we call them. So the ability to not only chat, to use voice over IP as an example, so come in and not have to use minutes on your plan. You can use your data plan and come in, and potentially maybe you won't have to use minutes in the future. We've seen success on the classified side on that, where we only have data plans because we're using our secure voice over IP network that's on the backside infrastructure. The other thing is video. So in DoD, we do a lot of video teleconferences. It's the way that we control and our commands in the field tactically. We meet and discuss that. We've been doing that for many years and led many of the capabilities that are out there. How do you wrap that into an app that does your video, your voice, and where we're going in that? So we're pioneering some of those things, but you have to have a backside infrastructure that enables that. And so that's the part that, you know, we're going to compete in the future is, you know, the unified capability is not just about mobility. It's about your laptop. It's about other things you do, but mobility has a dependence on that. And so we're closely tied with DISA's efforts in that unified capability area. So have some of the smaller apps, but have those larger apps that tie you back into some of the infrastructure. And there's many companies out there that do that today. You'll see that in the corporate world. How do we bring that in not only to the laptop world, but bring that into the tablet world? Because that's what's going to make it a difference. So the vision is to have a tablet that you can take everywhere. So we know, and I'm sure you guys know, tablets just outsold PCs about 2 weeks ago. So we know it's there, but we have a lot of people that, you know, sometimes resist technology as it comes along. But think of a person carrying a tablet where they can take it home, they can carry it with them. Potentially it could end up on a battlefield in the future tied into a government Wi-Fi system that we trust through one of our tactical systems. That's where we're going. I don't think we're that far off because there's many people that are researching those areas. And then how does the enterprise handle that? Gateways is one. We have teleports that bring it back through satellite is another. Think of a satellite phone that you tie in a tablet so you can do your VTC en route in an airplane, on the go. You know, that's where we're going. We're setting up the enterprise to support those type of capabilities. We're starting with the base camp and station. But the real power is to provide the warfighters the capability to move forward with that. So that's our vision.
We'll take another quick break. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. My guest is Mr. John Hickey. He's the Program Manager for Mobility at the Defense Information Systems Agency.
In today's government environment, priorities change on a dime. So government customers need a telecommunications provider that can change at the same pace. Harris Caprock has plenty of bright ideas about how to make that happen. Ideas that enable agility, ideas that ensure resiliency, ideas that increase cost effectiveness. Harris Caprock tailors telecommunication solutions around customer needs instead of forcing customers' requirements into standard service offerings. They've delivered telecommunications to more than 1,000 government locations in the U.S. Harris Caprock's extensive network connects 60-plus major Department of Defense locations with speeds up to 100G. Their capabilities extend even further around the world with a robust global backbone network spanning 23 countries. Harris Caprock specializes in engineering affordable solutions that provide rapid connectivity. To learn more, visit harriscaprock.com/brightideas. harriscaprock.com/brightideas.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. I'm Lauren Larson. My guest is Mr. John Hickey. He's the Program Manager for Mobility at the Defense Information Systems Agency. So tell me, how do you get feedback?
So we have a survey. So to our customers on the unclassified side, we're going to push a survey out to our customers on the classified side. But on our classified side, we have many high-level customers that we're already getting feedback. You know, I would like Wi-Fi in it. Well, then we have to evaluate on the secret side, what does that mean? You know, I want international roaming capability on this device. Well, we have to evaluate those things. So we have a portal set up where our customers can come in and give us immediate feedback, and we do periodic surveys with them. And that will really evolve the requirements piece. As well as DOD has a commercial mobile device working group where we pull in these requirements that come from the supporting commands, the services, the MILDEPs, the combatant commands. So.
Will each of the services and other DOD agencies have their own segments within CMS?
So we're working that today. Every service is a little bit different, right? So the Army came in early and partnered directly with us. That's part of our Defense Enterprise email system. So to provide them a solution is pretty easy because they're already tied into DEE. Mrs. Takai has put out a memo saying, hey, you need to come to the enterprise because there's many advantages of having an enterprise email system, whether it's directory services, identities, and other things. So, again, a lot of capability there to do that. But for those that aren't on Defense Enterprise Email, and that's one of those killer apps that everybody wants, how do you do that? Mobile Iron has the ability to reach out and control that through ActiveSync to tie back into the enterprise that way. We're working with each of the services to engineer the solutions that they're going to ask for, and we're just in the first steps of that, right, because they're trying to understand the technology as well as they've had their own pilots. So we're working on transition plans. So we issued an implementation plan last year. As part of that implementation plan is a requirement to come up with a transition plan to come to the enterprise, and that's timed by where are you at with your email capability and your plan, where are you at with your pilot capability, where are you at with your mobile applications or your mobile application store? And so we're working through those different ones through the commercial mobile device working group and how we can support those different customers. And we're reaching out to those customers because there's many customers out there. As an example, we had a VTC yesterday with CENTCOM as an example. They had their own exchange system. So how do you tie into that? And again, those are the pieces that we're working, and over the next several months, we will lay in transition plans as partners with our customers in those areas. So the answer kind of long there, but it is, we're working that plan, and there will be a transition plan to the enterprise, or if the enterprise can't support some unique requirement they have, they'll work a waiver through the Department of Defense CIO office.
What are the next steps?
Understand that every service or agency or combatant command has a different infrastructure. That's why the department is going to JIE, right? Get a joint infrastructure that's tied together seamlessly so that we can do our net ops, we can do our situational awareness, we can control the traffic coming in and out, and we can understand where all those vulnerabilities are. I think on the mobile side, we've got to look at what it is today, because JIE isn't done, right? It's in its beginning stages over in Europe. And say, all right, what can we do right and make smart decisions? And it does, I've talked to all the different points. It is about unclassified for official use only traffic. It is about classified traffic at the secret level, at the top secret level. It is about providing defense in depth. So when we talk about a mobile device management, it can reach out to the device. And the device, you know, is a secure operating system. And we want to make sure it's secure, and we lock it down in a STIG configuration, much like we do a laptop today. The difference in this space versus maybe what we're doing on the laptop space is we're dealing with more operating systems, more carriers, more mobile applications, or at least the potential for more mobile applications, number-wise, volume-wise. And then we got to take our legacy applications and make sure they're mobile-enabled. And that will provide. So if I'm the combatant commander and I can see a picture of our global command and control system on my iPad, as an example, or on my Samsung device, or on my Windows device, or on my BlackBerry device, and I can see that in real time, that's a combat multiplier. It provides information to the warfighter. So I think it's tying all that together. We have the foundation. Now we have to go implement it and make sure we can support all those different use cases. And that's a big challenge, but I think we're building up the organization to do that. We're going to scale this capability to support that. Our goal, again, we'll have the capacity to support 100,000 users in the first year. That's pretty big. That's, again, if you count that with what we're already doing with BlackBerry devices, 80,000, that's a big chunk of the mobile device market that DoD does today. And then in FY15, build on that, and 16, build on that. And then you have an enterprise solution where you can manage and monitor all the wireless devices that are connected to the network. And we will gradually see those wireless devices become more and more capable that may replace some of the laptops and desktops that you see today. It won't replace all of them, but I think you're in that wave. So there's a mobility wave. People have written about it. We're in it. We're living it. It's tough, but I think the capability ultimately is to give the information to those commanders that need it so they can act. And I think that's at all levels. And so that's the task that we're on. I think we're on schedule. We've kind of put out in the implementation plan where we would be. We're there. And we've seen some early returns on the classified side. And then on the unclassified side, I think it's about scaling in the volume and finding those apps that really people want, that we can afford, and there's infrastructure to support it.
That's all we have time for today. I want to thank my guest, Mr. John Hickey, Program Manager for Mobility at the Defense Information Systems Agency. I'm Lauren Larson. You've been listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to the Agency of the Month, brought to you by Harris Caprock. Reliability never reached so far on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Agency of the Month, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m., only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.